The Hockey Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Bet $100 and get $100 at WynnBET.com or download the WynnBET app and start winning today. State restrictions apply. We're also brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast's Final Four Watch Party. April 1st at 7:30 p.m., SGP will be at the Ice House in L.A., so come hang out with the crew. All the info at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/icehouse. Welcome to the Hockey Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I'm your host here, Ryan Gilbert. And with me here on a Thursday night is my co-host, Joel Meyer. How are we doing tonight, bud?
I'm back to sobriety. So I'm fairly grumpy.
One more week.
That's right. One more week, exactly. Well, 9 days technically, but close enough, counting them down. As you can tell, sobriety brings extra grumpiness, you could say, and something that pisses me off lately is listening to people whine about the Final Four matchups. They're supposed to be bad games, whatever, just because there's no blue bloods. We got all these long shots playing, these low seeds or high seeds, however you want to say it. But they want it both ways. They want the major upsets, but then at the end of the day, they want the best teams playing. I don't quite get it. You can't have your cake and eat it too. But that's what they want. And people complain about anything, including myself, of course. That's the irony in that statement. But it just pisses me off. We're gonna have some great games no matter what, no matter who's playing. It's been a terrific tournament. Not too many blowouts, and I don't expect maybe UConn can blow up Miami, but the other game should be close all the way through. I'm excited for that. Unlike a lot of these posers who just want, Kentucky playing North Carolina. I don't know. Definitely excited for Saturday, despite everyone telling me not to be.
Yeah, it's refreshing to see all these upsets and having these teams actually make the Final Four. Because like normally it's like you said, it's the Blue Bloods. It's having a Kentucky or a Kansas or a Duke just have a dynasty, and it's refreshing to see this. And you don't see it as much in college football. I wish it was there as well, because it seems like Alabama and Georgia and those big teams there kind of have a monopoly on the dynasty. And yeah, this is what March Madness is supposed to be. It's supposed to be 64 teams, and truly whoever gets hot and wins and runs through the tournament undefeated wins it all. It's not always the best team. It's not always one of the top 5 or 10 teams in the league or in the nation. And that's just the nature of a single elimination tournament. Besides that, opening day for MLB today. Phillies got off to a hot start against Jacob deGrom, and then Aaron Nola pulled early. They ended up losing 11-7. Not too good start for the Phillies. We're talking a little before the show, but did hit on a few player prop bets, so that was good. It's always exciting to have baseball back as well. I think Yoshida was 2-for-4 today. Joel, I'll make sure to keep you up to date on his stats.
I'll regret not betting it.
you didn't bet it. All right.
I didn't bet shit.
This
pro better sent me a bunch of futures he played. I'll show you later on, see if you like any of them.
All right, yeah, sounds good. But yeah, that's a hot start for some guys. Aaron Judge picked up where we left off with the home run. But yeah, that's enough baseball talk. If you want more baseball talk, you can follow and listen to Baseball Money is Fake, a fantasy baseball podcast. But basically just talking this open day standouts. Recorded that earlier today with Blake, so check that out. Baseball Money is Fake is the show name. Also check out all the other shows, MMA Dodin's thing. We got golf going on. We got March Madness, obviously. So make sure you check out everything else. And most importantly, make sure you are subscribed to the Hockey Gambling Podcast feed, or listen to your podcast. If that's on Apple, you can leave us a 5-star rating and review. Haven't got a new one of those in a few weeks now. It's starting to look like a desert out there again. And on Spotify, you can leave us a 5-star rating. And you can always let us know what you think on Twitter at HockeySGPN. And of course, you gotta have a system of support. And that's what you got in the Discord here. SG.dn/Discord.
Let's fucking go. 5-4 in overtime.
Sends one low two. Flyers got another loser point. That's the story of the Flyers season. You get in Discord, sg.pn/Discord. We put all our bets in there, live bets as well. That's a good community of guys there. I mean, sometimes too nice, but you know, it's all right. But yeah, we were talking before the show. Of course, the Flyers tied it up 4-4 late in the third period. I think they ended up getting outshot like 40-11 or something, but they got a loser point. They didn't pull out the win, even though I did bet them plus 1.5 late in the game. So they'd cash the over as well. So that, I guess that helped save the night. But
you had a 10-1, you were saying, on the money line.
10-1 on the money line. I had that, but I also took them on the puck line as well. That's my typical live betting. Is I bet more on the puck line plus 1.5. And then
people don't want to hear about your damn puck line bets. They want to hear those big prices, like 10-1. That's what we want
to
hear about.
10-1, it almost hit. Great value there.
Exactly. That's a proper sweat there. But here you are recording the podcast. I would have said, fuck you, Joel. I'm waiting another 20 minutes seeing if this bet loses.
No, I can't watch the Flyers. good game tonight, though. In New Jersey, the Devils took down the Rangers 2-1. Rangers had a few good opportunities late there with a goalie pull, but just could not get it done. Ryan Graves, ex-Av there, had a big play in the crease to keep the puck out. So that one was a 2-1. It was a double whammy for me there. I was on the Rangers in the over. Panthers-Canadiens, Panthers pulled it out there and got the over on a Matthew Tkachuk empty net hat trick. So 5-2 there. Penguins 2-0 over the Preds. It's just a shit game there. Lightning 5-1 over the Caps. As expected, the Bruins were taken to overtime by the Blue Jackets, and they pulled that one out in OT. Of course, David Pastrnak scored 40 seconds in. Any other notes from tonight before we move on to this 4-game slate on Friday?
Not really. This is one of the few days that seems to have gone according to plan lately. You know, I talked about it before, but March is a very tough month of the year to bet this sport. With teams resting players, and not really, it's more about motivation this time of year, I guess. And then you have to be more aware of that kind of thing than the traditional power ratings, whatever, because a lot of it's just teams taking nights off and teams randomly showing up one night. Like, especially bad teams, they decide to be good for once. And then the other teams overlooking them, right? They're just like, oh, okay, shitty team, we could take this one lately. And then they get 100% effort from the other team. But tonight was more chalky, you would say, and about to finally see some regulation wins come through. Lately, it's all been about losing those bets because, like, a late goal, and then team wins in overtime, that kind of thing. But thankfully, that hasn't happened yet, though it could happen with this Hurricanes Red Wings game.
Yes,
they got 6 minutes left to get a go ahead goal, but doesn't matter. We're looking good, especially with that Sens win.
Yeah, it's looking pretty good. Interesting thing for the Flyers tonight was John Tortorella was not behind the bench. He watched the game from the press box with interim GM Danny Briere to get the perspective from watching up top and to give Brad Shaw a chance to coach behind the bench. Interesting there to see if Tortorella may have his hand in player personnel over this offseason as the Flyers are looking to rebuild. He's definitely looking for his guys. He's the face of the organization right now, as sad as that is. So interesting to watch there for Flyers fans like myself. All right, we are brought to you by WynnBET, the official online sports book of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is now active in Massachusetts and tons of other states. Be on the lookout for the WynnBET Win Hour each Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. During WynnBET Win Hour, marquee games of the week will have better odds on WynnBET, giving you a larger payout opportunity. And March Madness is here. There's so many ways to bet on the big dance. Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100, get $100. Limited to state availability. And of course, for our DGens only, if you hit the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you get $1,000 free credit. There's so much to choose from. All you have to do is head over to winbet.com or download the WynnBET app. Offer subject to change, terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you have some gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Looking to hang out with Sean and Ryan at Stadium Swim and watch the biggest golf tournament in the world? You can win a three-night stay at Circa Las Vegas to hang with the guys. The contest is completely free to enter. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/golfparty. And if you don't win the contest, you can still get a discount on a room using promo code SGP15. And the Final Four watch party is going virtual. Hang out with the guys on their YouTube channel for the entire Saturday of Final Four action, live bets, prize giveaways, and much more. Subscribe to youtube.com/sportsgamblingpodcast and tune in on Saturday. All right, running into this four games late for Friday, March 31st.
Yeah, but I just noticed what you were saying there in that ad. The Open is the best and biggest golf tournament in the world, not the Masters.
Hey, I'm just reading what's down there, all right?
I know. Just want to make sure the people know my opinion on that.
Well, they had to get talent thoughts on that tomorrow.
He'll agree with me for sure.
Absolutely. All right, kicking off here with the 7 o'clock slate. We got the New York Rangers at the Buffalo Sabres. Game itself is in Buffalo. Sabres are +125. Rangers are -145. Over-under is at 6.5, both paying off -110. What do you got for this clash here?
Yeah, Sabres are a very tough team to read all year long for me, especially lately when you just think that they're giving up, but then they show right back up and win a couple games. Yeah, for this one, my line is -141 for the Rangers. So it's pretty close to it. I guess I lean to the Rangers. It was just Turk today, right? I imagine it was.
Yes.
Against the Devils. So we'll get Halak tomorrow, most likely. So give me the over. Give me the over 6.5, -110. Sabres are still, you can't really read what they're going to do in terms of winning games, but you can read that they're going to let up goals and maybe score a few as well. Still an over team all year long, so that's the wagon to ride here. Give me the over 6.5, -110. I like goals in this game. Rangers are awesome on the power play. Only got one goal today against the Devils, but that was more of a playoff preview game. I have no idea why we took the over. That was dumb of us, but anyway, right team won there for me. But for this one, I think that we'll get some more goals with the Sabres being a lot less structured and more chaotic defensively and still one of the best to high-scoring teams in the league. So, yeah, I like goals in this one more than anything.
Yeah, I like that look for the over there. I'm probably going to bet that as well. When I looked earlier, the Sabres did not have a confirmed goalie, but it looks like it's going to be Devon Levi, who signed his entry-level contract 2 weeks ago. He was playing with Northeastern University, so he'll go and make his first pro hockey start. 933 save percentage this season in NCAA. So, I mean, he's a good goalie. We'll see how it transfers to the NHL, especially with the Rangers coming off a loss with all those snipers there, Kane, Tarasenko, Panarin, Zibanejad. I feel like the Rangers can definitely put up some goals here. That's why I do like the Rangers at -145. Tough loss tonight, playoff-like atmosphere, likely playoff preview against the Devils, but Sabres aren't that good. The Sabres have lost 5 of their past 7, 7 of their past 10. So I like the Rangers here, even on a back-to-back. I think Halak is good enough to keep him in it, and this Devon Levi kid is not. So Rangers -145, and I do like the over 6.5 at -110 as well.
You know, Levi starting actually makes me a little bit more concerned for the over, you know, kid's first start. He's going to be super hyped. It could go badly for him, of course, first NHL game. You don't know how these guys or these kids are going to respond and play in their first pro game. But I think that generally they typically do well, these hot prospects coming into the league, especially when they've had a solid year in the minors. So That's a little bit of a concern, but it's not going to take me off the over.
Yeah, it's only because he's going straight from college to the NHL. I think if he had some pro experience, I'd be more worried about it. But I mean, it'll be a cool story if he does, and good for him. But I'm betting against him. All right, going down to 8 o'clock here. We got the Detroit Red Wings at the Winnipeg Jets. Game itself is in boring ass, cold ass Winnipeg. Jets are -230 on the money line. Jets on the puck line are +110. Red Wings on the money line are +195. Over under is at 6.5. Overpaying off -115. Underpaying off -105. Something I wanted to bring up probably after we discuss the games, we can maybe just talk about it now, is Rick Bonus is just completely ripping into his team, saying they have no consistency. He's dropped, I think, Ehlers down in the lineup. They have scored one goal in their past two games, got shut out by James Reimer on Tuesday night. Now they have 2 days off back at home, going against a Detroit team that had just beat the Penguins on Tuesday. Besides that, though, Detroit really hasn't won back-to-back games recently. So I think you got to go with the Jets here. Find money somehow. I don't know. Minus 230, though, is getting kind of steep, and I don't know if the Jets are going to be able to respond. This might just end up being an under game for me. Jets are not scoring seven straight unders for them. Have not scored more than three goals in their past nine games. Have not allowed more than three goals in their past, just once in their past seven. So yeah, this might just be a under six at minus 105 play for me.
Don't mind that at all. You know, I like the Red Wings unders, and the Jets too are playing lots of under games, with Hellebuck being the best player by far. Yeah, I understand Bonus's frustration the way the Jets are playing. You know, you'd think that they'd be gunning for it given their 100% effort every game. But when you're losing to the Sharks, even when James Reimer is playing excellently, of course, James Reimer, I was unaware that he was a Manitoba native there. So he put up his best effort against the hometown club. But yeah, you still got to win games like that if you're the Jets, and then clinging on to that final wildcard spot. It'll cause any coach to go a little crazy. And we saw the same kind of thing with another ex-Jets coach, Paul Maurice, against the Leafs yesterday, rampaging on the bench. You'll love to see it, though. These coaches are just fucking fed up with their loser-ass players who aren't putting in their best effort. So, yeah, full sympathy for Bonus. But as for this game, yeah, give me the under here. My line is minus 228 for the Jets, but you can't really trust them right now, especially coming home from California. I know the Red Wings are playing tonight, and, they're likely going overtime here against the Canes, but it's still a border-crossing game, and... I think if anything, they play the Jets, but I haven't touched it yet myself. I just can't trust Winnipeg the way that they're playing right now. I do like the under best of all.
Yeah, that's fair enough there. All right, moving down to the 10 o'clock slate here. We have the Calgary Flames at the Vancouver Canucks. Game itself is in Vancouver. Canucks are plus 110. Flames are minus 130. Over-under is at 6.5, overpaying off minus 120. The under is at plus 100. What are your Canucks going to do here?
Well, they're coming home from their own long road trip down there. Actually, wasn't that long, but it still makes a difference here. They just 5-5 game in St. Louis, I think it was. They totally outplayed the Blues in that game. Couldn't get the goaltending for once. Demko at it was early season Demko. That was pretty pitiful. Blues somehow always make goalies look bad, though. I don't know what it is about that team, but they always get these. I don't know, it's been years, but they always get the luckiest goals. I don't know how they do it, but anyway, for this game, line is minus 130, and that's exactly what the Flames are here, so that's what I'm leaning towards. Give me the Flames. Fuck it. I think that they're Nashville's been playing the hardest, but they have no talent. The Flames have been playing the best, but they just they're the opposite of the Blues in terms of their finishing and whatever. They get all these shots, usually from long range, low chances, but still, they should be putting more in the net. And who knows what you're going to get from their goaltending these days. Markstrom looks like his old self one game, and then the total trash next two. Give me the Flames here. I think that they keep rolling here, especially the Preds losing tonight. Give them some hope. And we'll see also. They'll be scoreboard watching too, with the Jets playing 2 hours earlier. We'll see what the score is there, and that might determine a little bit what the Flames play like. Give me the Flames here, minus 130. Lean to the under 6.5, plus 100. Just Canucks playing better defense. You know the spiel, and the Flames struggle to score, but they're still good defensively. We'll see if Brandon Tanev comes back. Or not Brandon Tanev, Chris Tanev, the ex-Canucks player. I'm sure he'll want to play, and he is the Flames' best defenseman in terms of his all-around defensive game. If he comes back, it makes me like the Flames even more, but I'll still take them without him.
Yeah, I'm leaning the other way here on the Canucks plus 110. I just think the Flames, they just find ways to lose games. I know they've won two straight through their past four, but Canucks here, and they're one of the best teams in the league since the trade deadline, if not the best. They lost in overtime in St. Louis, but won three straight before that, have won five of their past seven, seven of their past 10. So they're winning games. They're fine at home, 17-18-1. Calgary is 16-11-11 on the road, so maybe look for a draw game here. But yeah, I like to lean to Canucks at plus 110. I guess I lean to the under as well at plus 100, but that's not going to be a play for me.
The Red Wings just scored in like 2 seconds
left. Fuck off!
Why can't I have that fucking luck? Oh well, he would have lost in regulation anyway, but that's not good for me in terms of Red Wings under 84.5 points. Hurricanes, I think I've got all their stuff wrapped up. I mean, as long as they don't lose the division.
Yeah, I mean, Devils won, Carolina lost. It's going to be back within 1 point, but I think Carolina has a few games in hand. At least one or two. That sucks. All right, going down to the last game here, 10:30, Dallas Stars at the Arizona Coyotes. Game itself is in Mullet Arena, Arizona State University. Coyotes are plus 200 on the money line. Coyotes on the puck line are minus 125. Stars are minus 240. Stars on the puck line are plus 105. Over-under is at 6, overpaying off plus 100, and the under at minus 120. It's the Desert Dogs. They're dogs at home. So I got to go with Arizona here. I'm not sure if I can pull the trigger on the money line, maybe a half unit, maybe a quarter unit at plus 200. But I do like the plus 1.5, minus 125. Coyotes have lost five in a row, but one goal game against Edmonton. Took Colorado to a shootout, took Edmonton to overtime before that, lost 2-1 to Winnipeg. And before that, they won four straight home games. So Stars are still a bit up and down, still trying to find themselves heading into the playoffs. So I think going into Arizona may not be the best thing for them. So I like the Coyotes here at plus 1.5, minus 125, and probably a sprinkle on the money line just in case they do pull it out. Total, don't really have too strong of a play here. I guess I'd lean to the under and maybe see if we get a goalie game between Ottinger and Vadmelka. But probably the only bet for me is going to be the Coyotes on the puck line.
Coyotes are in every game these days. They're still playing hard, ruining their draft selection. But if you're getting play from Matias Michelli and Quentin Keller, the way they've been playing, you're okay with that, giving them a good hope for the future anyway with the players they currently have. They don't need more draft picks. They got enough as it is. I agree with you with the Coyotes, especially at home. One thing to note too is we always talk about, not always talk about, but some people talk about the goalie at home, that he knows the bounces of the rink, he knows the
yes, classic narrative.
No, it's there's some truth to it. The goalie does know where the puck's gonna bounce. He knows the little quirks of each building. They're all a little different. And it's especially true for the Coyotes, the way that their lighting is. If you ever see how dark it is there's shadows everywhere. I imagine that a lot of the Coyotes' home success has something to do with the lighting, like the shadows on the rink. It's hard to see for some of the players on there. So I think that throws some teams off. That's just one theory anyway. I think that could be a contributing factor to their home success this year. It's certainly not the elite talent on the team. And I think, it's also just teams taking them lightly continually, thinking that they'll roll into this AHL building or NCAA building, rather, and just dominate. But obviously the Coyotes take some kind of pride in it and fight hard every game. So, yeah, plus 200 here is the way I'd look. My line is only minus 187 for the Stars. So quite like the Coyotes here. Kind of like the under, but no real strong play there. But keep giving me the Coyotes here on the money line. No puck line bullshit for me.
Yeah, that's definitely a interesting point, because Vanelka at home is, I had it here, 12-7-2 with a .912 save percentage, .311 goals against. On the road, 6-15-3, .892 save percentage, .3.6 goals against. So that's a 20 point difference between his home and road save percentage. I'm trying to look up the Coyotes' shot percentage at home versus on the road, because maybe, you know, they are getting the goalies, like you said, they're on the road, they don't know the shadows and whatnot. Remember hearing something?
the fucking shadows.
No, I mean, that makes sense, though, because
it just sounds funny now when you say it. Shadows. Evil shadow.
Whatever. Mordor. Coming out of nowhere.
The shadow realm.
Yeah, I remember hearing something like when the Devil Stadium was built, like they had the side with the Zamboni door. They had Brodeur defending that twice, and he was like, no, I can't have that. So they like ended up switching sides or switching locker rooms or something. So, yeah, that definitely does play a factor, as much as it. I mean, it's a narrative sometimes, but it definitely does play a factor in unique stadiums like that. All right, that's the four-game slate for Friday. Consensus plays here is the Rangers Sabres over 6.5 -110. The Red Wings Jets under 6 at -105, and then the Coyotes at +200 at home. All right, we're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy continues heating up as March Madness comes to a close with their college basketball pick'em. It's a great way to get in on the action. Plus, Underdog Fantasy has your favorite college basketball player props and great daily games for every other sport. Head over to UnderdogFantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, we want to talk some futures here to close this out, kind of fill out this shorter episode. And the only odds that are out there for a division is the Central. They're not in action right now with the Wild, Stars, and Avs all in contention. They have the Wild at +125, the Stars at +205, and the Avs at +240. Currently, the Wild are up 3 points on both the Stars and Avs, but they have played one more game. I know, me personally, I have a bit on the Wild at 10-1, and I have a bit more, I think, on the Avs at a lower price. So as long as the Stars don't somehow pull this out, which I don't think they can, I'm in the clear here. But if you're coming in fresh as a new bettor into this market, which of these three entices you the most?
I would say the Avalanche. I think that's just too much of a swing. I know we said that the Wild at +300 last time was the better value, but swinging all the way to, what did you say, +125?
Yes, for the Wild.
Yeah, so I think that's just too dramatic a swing. Obviously, it's a huge win there in Denver, and they're obviously hot, but still, I don't think that they should be that much of a favorite right now. I mean, they do have the tougher schedule yet. They got to play the Knights twice, a desperate Preds team, Penguins, desperate Jets team, Blues, who are always tough in division. Their only easy game is against the Blackhawks, and even there, they're competitive in a lot of these games too, so... You know, the Colorado Avalanche have, they got the Oilers, the Stars, the Kings, but they also got the Sharks twice, Ducks, and then the two guys going for the Central. So comparable, I guess, but I mean, yeah. They're what, 1 point separation now?
2 points? 3 points.
With a game in hand.
With a game in hand, yeah.
Yeah, so at +2, what did you say?
You gotta write this shit down. Avs are +240.
Yeah, +240, I think that would be the only play right now. The Stars, I don't think, are viable at this point, but I do think it's a two-team race between the Wild and the Avs. So, yeah, at +240, I think that's the way I would lean at this point, and I sure hope I'm right because, I really hope they win the division for multiple reasons, but at least it's good for the show considering we've been banging on the Wild for months now to win the division, so at least we will have a point of pride. I won't have money off of it, but at least I'll be I could say that I gave it out multiple times.
Yeah, I wasn't worried about the Stars, but now looking at their schedule, they play in Arizona, we just talked about, tomorrow, then have the Avs on Saturday in a back-to-back, so they'll probably be lucky to get 2 points out of that if maybe they'll beat Arizona losing Colorado. But then they have homestand against the Predators and the Flyers. They should they should win both those games realistically. And then the Golden Knights, and then Detroit at St. Louis, and then St. Louis at home. So that's not too difficult at all. Wild have to play Golden Knights twice, Penguins, Jets, Avs. You know, they had that game against the Stars, but then they go out west. They play two in San Jose, play against the Kings, play against the Ducks. They should beat San Jose twice in the Ducks. I mean, Kings is a toss-up. Then Oilers, Jets, Preds. I could see the Stars sneaking this one out. At these prices, I'd take the longer shot at the Avs of plus 240. But like, I'm starting to get a bit wary of the Stars. And if somehow over the course of the next few days or week, there's that rises a bit, I may throw some in there just to hedge. I think that's the only division odds we have available. What do you think that the Jets or you think that the Flames or Preds have a chance to make the playoffs? How are the Preds at a higher point percentage right now than the Flames? What are they doing?
Well, we talk about it all the time that the Preds are, they got these young players coming in there. They lost Matt Duchene now too, so it's basically an AHL team at this point. But they're still fighting hard. Flames are in the middle of a war with their own coach, and plus they're just getting bad luck, bad goaltending regression, and they just can't finish. I mean, they're setting records for their inability to finish, basically, and they're outperforming opponents. That's why they're still rated so highly in power ratings, but they just can't get the job done when it matters, so they lose a lot of points that way. Plus, they're like fucking abysmal in overtime, so they're losing so many points. These loser points are not getting it done for them. They need some of these extra points, but they're so bad after regulation, it makes it tough to advance to the playoffs that way. But in the Flames, I hope they make it in. I hope the Preds do not. That'd be the worst, but I don't think that they will at this point. They're heavily favored not to right now. So yeah, it's between the Flames and the Jets for me. Jets need to figure things out, and the Flames have the easier schedule, I believe. So the Flames are going to make it interesting. Hope they make the final push. They're the better team and will make for a very interesting first round matchup with whoever wins the one seed, most likely Vegas, but could be Kings, could be Oilers, could even be the Wild.
Yeah, the top seed there is completely wide open. I mean, it could be the Stars or Avs too if they end up winning the Central and Vegas falls off a bit. That's the thing about the Jets or the Flames. If either of them get the final wild card spot, they're both capable of going on a run. I mean, Hellebuck can go in there and stonewall Vegas or the Wild in the first round. Markstrom can find his game, and the Flames can figure out how to score and end up getting past their first round. Flames have 15 overtime losses. That's absolutely insane. They're 34-26 otherwise. I think the Jets still somehow hold on to this playoff spot, but I don't know if they're going to be able to turn things around to do any noise in the playoffs. And then in the East, it is looking like more and more like the Penguins are going to hold on against the Panthers. I'm not sure if you saw Keith Tkachuk called out the Panthers. I think it was earlier today. He said they're a soft team. They're getting everything they deserve right now. They should be a lot better than they're showing. Went out tonight, won 5-2. So, Panthers got a talking to from Matthew Tkachuk's dad. Matthew Tkachuk went out and got a hat trick. Answered with that. Still a little bit a ways away out of the playoffs, 1 point back of the Penguins with one more game played, and 4 points back of the Islanders. It's a tough fall for the Panthers, who went from the President's Trophy down to probably like missing the playoffs. And speaking of, the Bruins clinched the President's Trophy tonight with their overtime win.
Let's go 65-1, baby.
You got to bet that. That's insane. That's a fantastic. Did you bet that like as soon as that opened?
Pretty close. I didn't put enough on it, obviously, but still happy with that. Still pissed to let you have Bruins for so cheap in Calcutta.
I mean, that is the one saving grace for me, being that Calcutta there. So hockey, I mean, it's been back and forth whether it's looking like the playoff races are good and bad. And it's not even like the playoff races are good now, like the teams aren't winning. The teams are just, whichever team doesn't lose the most is going to get the final playoff spot. Maybe 7-6 games left for these teams. We'll see how things pan out. We'll be back on Friday night. I believe Talon is back. We'll have the full gang back together to finally go over our 8-1 performance from last Saturday. I'm sure that'll be much celebrated. And make sure you are subscribed to the Hockey Gambling Podcast, where you listen to your podcast. Leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple or Spotify. And follow us on Twitter at HockeySGPN. And, of course, get in the Discord, sg.pn/Discord. It's completely free. It's not one of these premium things. We're not trying to sell picks. There's no 5-star locks. But get in the Discord, sg.pn/Discord. Always a good time in there, and you're losing money if you're not in the Discord. All right, you good to close things out here?
Yeah, I think we covered it all.
We covered everything there. All right, I am Ryan Gilbert. You can follow me on Twitter at rgilbertsop.
Joel Meyer, and you will find me watching March Madness, even in the absence of the likes of Duke and UNC, Virginia, Kansas, all the other Muppets.